I am Gary Tirola, and this is Optimize Your Life. Welcome back to another episode, and this week, literally, probably the most exciting guest for me personally, so I'm going to selfishly plug this one as much as I can, and that's probably because you already understand that I am obsessed with health and wellness, and today we've got a very special guest, Kashif Khan. He is not only the founder of the DNA company, he's a celebrity longevity expert. He's a two-time TEDx speaker. He's also a Hay House author of The DNA Way, Unlocking the Secrets of Your Genes to Reverse Disease, Slow Aging, and Achieve Optimal Wellness. And he's just a badass healthcare innovator and founder himself. And he's the person to listen to crowd out all the noise of the politics and all the bullshit out there. And really dig down into what's real. Welcome, Kash.
Pleasure, man. Good to talk to you.
So good. So good to have you here. It's been a journey that I've been able to be privileged enough to watch you seriously just innovate in the space of health and wellness. In a space that is so highly saturated, so opinionated, and so everyone's so at ends with each other. I'd love to hear from you, firstly, what got you into health and wellness? I know that wasn't your starting point, but what was your starting point to get in here?
Yeah, so I actually don't come from the industry, and to do what I'm doing, it doesn't add up. You know, I have a biotech company that researches the human genome and reverses chronic disease and slows aging down, and you would think that I'd have to spend a lot of time at Harvard before being able to do any of that. And it was all self-taught. And the reason is I was sick, you know, so I actually ran a PR and marketing company where I helped startups grow. And that was really what I was good at, finding all of what they needed that they didn't even know they needed. And when I got sick and I started going to the doctor and asking why, you know, why do I have eczema, psoriasis? Why do I have migraines? Why do I have gut issues? Why are there days where I'm depressed and I don't even want to get out of bed? You know, why is all this stuff happening? What did I do wrong? And I couldn't get that answer. And that was my first sort of foray within the medical healthcare system. And I didn't get that they don't do that. It's more like, here's what your thing is called, and here's a pill you're supposed to take for the rest of your life. So that put me down this rabbit hole of figuring it out, and I did. And what I learned is that there were certain parts of my genome, fast forward like 1 year of work, that were just broken. There were certain genes that I was missing. There's certain genes not functioning properly. And those certain biological processes that just weren't at their best. And so I wasn't able to cope with the same exposures that my peers were when it came to detoxification and the gut and migraines, et cetera. So there was a cause, and there was a very clear cause. And once I identified the cause, I reversed everything. And not only did I reverse everything, I became in the best health, spirit, energy level of my adult life. And I realized everybody needs it. So what I did for so many years of helping startups grow and identifying what they needed that they didn't even know they needed, I then did for the space of functional medicine and genetics. And I built the business, right? So that's got to where we are. It required me martyring myself and feeling some pain and then needing a solution, right?
Why are we in the space now where we have to ask why 10 times in order to figure out what this, in inverted commas, this mystery illness, disease, pain that we're all experiencing, and is probably at such a massive volume right now throughout the US for sure, but throughout the world? Why can't our healthcare providers, in inverted commas again, sick care providers, whatever you want to call them, aka doctors, MDs, and all that, why aren't they able to get to this point of understanding? Is it just they don't have the tools, ignorance?
So we have the best acute care we've ever had. You break your arm, you get stage 4 cancer, you get rushed to an emergency service, and they'll help you. And we're doing that better than we've ever done that before. That same toolkit is being applied to chronic disease, but chronic disease does not happen that way. It's not an emergency. It takes 5, 10, 15 years of the wrong choices, nutrition, environment exposures, lifestyle, to develop. They are all optional. If you are not born with a chronic condition, you don't have it. You cause it. Your choices cause it. There's no such thing as there's diabetes in my family. You know, there's a poor diet or there's no exercise in your family. right? The habits led to that thing. Yes, the same habits may not lead to it in somebody else. That's genetics, but it cannot happen without the habits. It's a choice. And so none of that is part of medical literature. It's all, you know, do whatever you want. And when you're broken, come see me and I'll fix you. And nowhere in that conversation are we going to ask what you did to cause this. But we know you broke yourself. All we can do now, all we're trained to do and all our toolkit provides is acute emergency response. Let's mask it. And if that's all you're trained on, and if you try and do anything else and your license is revoked, you know, or you're gaslit and you're told that you're a flake or whatever, like they're constantly threatened. I know clinicians that have lost their licenses for not telling parents to not get vaccinated for their children, but just to spread them out. Like, don't do them all at one time because of the heavy metals that may cause inflammation. I've seen doctors in California lose their license for that, just saying spread them out a little bit. So if that's the level of regulatory oversight of like just stick to exactly what you're supposed to stay, it's very difficult for them to do otherwise. And this is why you're seeing this wave of functional medicine in the US where nobody wants to use their insurance anymore. They're just paying out of pocket to actually get service.
It's so interesting to me because it's, you know, these doctors, I know there's two parts, right? There's the industry and there's the doctors. And these doctors take these Hippocratic oaths. And I sometimes feel that there is a separate section between doctors. There's the doctors that really care and are willing to test and try out new things and all that and risk losing their license, and other doctors that look away from it. Now, why are we at this point where we don't even have industry wanting to back humans? We don't even have a lot of doctors that are wanting to risk in order to help someone save themselves from diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's, you name all the chronic illnesses. I'm not even in the field, and I understand how obvious it is of what we need to be doing, which is epigenetic, and you can speak into it. What's your take on the industry with that?
So in North America, well, in the US, healthcare is a $4 trillion industry. 90%, that's the actual number, 90% of that is chronic disease management. So you're talking about a $3.6 trillion industry that has it wrong, that needs to be changed, that could potentially be eliminated. There's a lot of power there that you have to fight up against. We experience this all the time. I get in shadow banned and poo-pooed on all the time by trolls that are out there looking for the right advice to be made wrong, right? So that's the problem. And you have a $3.6 trillion nut to crack, and these guys don't want to let go. And so they know. If I know this, I'm a simple business guy that healed myself, and I figured out that the cardiovascular disease that my dad died from didn't need to happen. Now that I understand why, they know this. They have the researchers and the biologists and everything that understands how the body works, but their tools are not designed for that, because why fix somebody when you can have them as a customer for the next 20 years? The average American is guaranteed to have a chronic disease by 55, two by 65, and they spend the last 15 years of their life in treatment. Unless you are out of the medical system paying out of pocket. That's actually the deal.
It kind of blows my mind, because I try and not go down the road of let's think of how sinister the industry is. And is it really as simple as that? That big industry is obviously very profit motivated, so that they're putting on a lot of pressure on a whole array of doctors that would do anything to help their patients. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah, it's that simple. You know, it's really that simple. And the other challenge is the things that put people into chronic disease. So you have this $3.6 trillion chronic disease industry. You have a $4 trillion food industry that's causing the majority of metabolic health issues. You have a multi-trillion dollar chemical industry. They're all owned by the same people. Right. So the same guys that's making the food that make you sick are solving the problem for you. So it's kind of like the greatest customer generation funnel ever designed. So, and that's truly what's happening. And it's very clear. And this is why you now have 35,000 functional medicine doctors in the US who are clinicians that are just sick of what they do and tried to learn another way. And then they learned that, oh, after all what I did at university to become who I am, I now had to get more education to actually learn how to practice healthcare, which is root cause. And they do that. They go to places like the Institute of Functional Medicine, or they get some integrative training, and they actually learn why diseases happen and how to reverse them as opposed to treat them. And it's a massive wave right now in the US and in other parts of the world too.
It's so scary to think about this, because it makes you want to retreat onto Costa Rica or to Bali and like never be open to anything again. But that's not reality, right? Like, we're still trying to build businesses. We still got families. We still too love going to the theater in a city. Like, there's so many things that we love doing, and it's not catered to as much, right? And from simple things, like in my experience, you know, simple things, I love wearing barefoot shoes, for instance. And now barefoot shoes of, like, if we look at the health mechanics of your foot on a shoe and all that, it kind of makes sense. It's something so simple for me, right, in my personal experience, yet you're not going to find a trendy barefoot shoe pretty much anywhere in the world. And I find that model is very apparent to everything else. Like, it's not convenient in this world to be well and to be healthy. So I'd love to speak on solutions on how you've essentially, maybe you can give an example of how you've been able to help someone that has been chronically affected by everything that we've spoken about. Whether it's your story or anyone you've helped with the DNA company and your methodologies, and then branch into what you see is going to be the most effective way for humans to safeguard themselves.
Yeah, so there's a lot. So when you change teams, let's say, and go from sick care to health care, there's so much to navigate. There's so many podcasts and videos and influencers. Like, where do you start, right? And so that's why we always start with genetic testing, because it tells you what to prioritize. We're not talking about the problem. We're not looking for a weight loss gene. We're not looking for an anxiety gene. What we're looking for is what systems in your body are not doing well. And if I understand that, I already know how that equals weight loss, how that equals anxiety, how that equals depression, how that equals all of what you're complaining about, right? So if you support the system, the symptoms can manifest, because you weren't born with them. Just like you said, I can have the worst cardiovascular genetics. I can have the worst Alzheimer's genetics. But if I live on a beach in Bali and have no stress and sleep well and eat fish out of the sea, there was no inflammatory load that triggers a problem. Keep in mind, of the 15 top killers, medical killers, 14 are rooted in inflammation. So if you solve this one thing, you cannot die of the top 14. You can't even get the top 14 killers: cancer, Alzheimer's, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. They're all inflammation. Of the 15, the other one, by the way, that's not rooted in inflammation, is medical error. It's doctors making mistakes, which is now the number 3 cause of death in the US, by the way. So, and that required inflammation to get there anyway. You had to be sick for a doctor to make a mistake, kill you, right? So what I'm saying is, if you understand how to maintain the health of your cells, these big problems can't happen. You slow down your aging, your energy level stays as it should be, your libido stays where it should be, your hair stays where it should be, and no major disease happens. All the things we're trying to fix. So that starts with understanding, well, where is my red flag? What's that weak spot? That here's this chain of biological function. Where's the weak link for me? Because it's not the same for everybody. And then the example, take me as an example. There's a gene called GSTM1, which is a primary detoxifier of the gut. And whatever you eat comes along with food coloring chemicals, packaging, mold sometimes. And some of us do a good job of clearing that. When it enters the gut, there's a process of glutathionization. So glutathione is deployed, binds onto these, you know, toxins, gets rid of them for you, pee them out and poop them out, and you're done. I don't do that because I'm missing that gene. So now when I go out for lunch for a business meeting and I'm not careful about what I eat, I will get bloated. I will have gut issues. I will have pain. And if I do that once, okay. If I do it twice, okay. If I do that for several years ongoing, I'm going to start to feel psoriasis and eczema and migraines because it compounds on itself. And that's why I felt the way I felt, right? Mm. So now knowing that, why is it that my business partner who went to the same lunches as me didn't have those problems? Because he wasn't missing the gene.
Mm.
So step one is to prioritize, right?
And is that also applicable to so-called healthy food? So, people see burgers, McDonald's as unhealthy and healthy food as vegetables and all that. Like, how does your gut get affected even if you're eating vegetables and whatever is out there?
So when we look at the food, we don't consider the processing, right? And you think that if it's not in a bag, it's not processed. Not true. You know, let me give you a simple example. There's a drink that I like that has two ingredients, carbonated water and natural flavor, and stevia, three ingredients. So I figured, okay, no calories, no sugar, this is good. I'm getting the pleasure, and it's clean. And I started getting headaches a few days in. Why? Because natural flavors, it's one ingredient on the label, means that it came from a plant or an animal. So it's natural, seemingly harmless. In order to get it into the drink requires 50 to 75 chemicals. The processing to take that natural flavor from the plant, extract it, process it, you know, get it into that state that it needs to be, 50 to 75 chemicals. And none of that is required to be listed as ingredients because our chemical lobby is smart and knows how to work on label laws. And so this one thing seems safe, but it's not. You know, something as simple as hummus. Okay, I'm healthy. I eat hummus for lunch. It's chickpeas. It's a good, clean carb and protein, right?
I know. I should never have asked you this. I love hummus.
Now, if you aren't careful, now you're different because you live with a world-class chef who can, you know, make you some hummus.
Yeah.
But if you go to the grocery store and buy it off the shelf, for sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. And this is where people see this inconsistency. Like, I ate that same thing and I felt fine, but today I ate it and it felt super bloated. What's going on? Well, there's some companies that in order to turn over the chickpeas faster, they use chemicals to dry them. And then they use chemicals in the factory where they're processed to then get them into the state where they need to grind them and turn them into food. And those aren't listed as ingredients and they're highly, highly toxic. And for some people, you would never know. For some people like me, I eat that one bowl of hummus and I can't eat dinner that day if I had it for lunch because I'm so bloated. My gut just gets wrecked. So there's things like that you start to learn. And it's really just poking around, learning, and you'll start to open your eyes to all of what's around you. A simple box of organic cereal seems safe until you realize the plastics are leaching into the food. It was made on some heavy metal equipment that they spray with chemicals every day to keep it clean, to comply with safety standards. That's in your food also, right? So once you start to see and think, it goes far beyond the food itself. But again, personalization, does it matter? Maybe I have a good detox system and it will never hurt me. So you need to know what to prioritize.
This is a very scary reality because it goes into the question now, like, what do we do? So we've got this food supply system that's really, as an individual, we cannot change. Maybe as a collective, we can put pressure on politics and all of that. But right now, we cannot change that. So what do we do for today and tomorrow when we are still wanting to be social, when we still are wanting, provided we actually understand our genetics, but like we want to be social, we don't want to be so inconvenienced that we will only eat from the garden that we grow in a garden that we don't even have. Like, what do we do as humans to actually meet that mark?
So you're right on that. The practical reality is, so what would you do? I have my DNA report. I now know what my risks are. I'm going to eliminate everything. Very, very difficult to eliminate everything. You walk outside your door and you're probably breathing in the things that you think you're trying to eliminate. The pesticides up on, you know, it's airborne now. There's microplastics, even in salt, like it's everywhere, right? So what do you do? So there's two dials you can turn. Here's a genetic weakness. I now need to remove something. That's the hard thing to do. You start to do that and you get better and better and better. But there's also, why don't I add something to support that genetic weakness? So instead of taking a medication, I don't have a medication deficiency, right? That's medication is for math, not because your body needed it. It's to mask the symptoms. It's more like, why don't I take the thing that I actually am deficient in? This gene doesn't do its job. I don't detoxify the gut. I make the wrong kind of hormone. I don't metabolize vitamin D properly. So now I know what I need to add so that I can cope with going to dinner with friends or breathing in the chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. And just realize that our genetic wiring is tens and tens and tens of thousands of years old. In fact, a couple hundred thousand years old. The industrialized reality we live in today and all of the threats that we're breathing, that we're eating, that we're smelling, that we're in our relationships, our lack of sleep, all of this stuff is new. And we are wired for it. So you need to. Everybody needs to. I haven't come across a patient in the thousands of people that we've dealt with that doesn't need to add something to be able to cope with the reality outside. And those are the two dials you turn. Remove, which is hard, as you said. It depends on your context and where you are, and every day is different. But then it's add. If I know I have to go to lunch for me, I'm going to take some charcoal. I'm going to have some chlorella to bind onto heavy metals and chemicals. I'm going to take a detox supplement so that my blood has the right detox compounds helping me clear. And all of a sudden I can go and I can go to that lunch and I'm not going to have a problem and I'm not going to manifest eczema, right? So there's things you can do.
And this is all, I mean, you essentially are told what to take through the genetic tests that you can do through the DNA company from a supplement point of view.
There's two layers to that. There's the test will tell you what systems are failing and how to support them. Then there's some clinical knowledge we have that we aren't necessarily allowed to say in the report. You know, FDA, Health Canada, there's a limit to what we're allowed to say. But we do have a clinician team that can intake you and dive deeper. So suppose there's a specific problem, like my mom had breast cancer, I don't want it, right? So that's where we would recommend you dive in deeper clinically and we can support there. But the general answers of how do I become the best version of myself, it's all in the reports.
And is everything reversible, provided it's a chronic illness that we're suffering from? So whether it's one of the Alzheimer's, diabetes, obesity, whatever it is, like we can reverse this.
Everything is reversible. To what degree depends how far gone it is, right? So Alzheimer's, doesn't matter where you are, is reversible to some degree. So if we catch it early enough, can we reverse it to baseline or not? Right? So there's some cases where we can reduce the load and make it a little better, but we can't get you back to where you started because it's too far gone. So the damage has been done, right? The good news is everything is preventable, right? Anyone that is sitting here listening that feels like us, that is somewhat healthy, why not hold on to that, right? Now, why not? That's your reality until you're 120, which I think is how long we have the potential to live to. Why not hold on to that and just stay that age, you know, biologically until you die, you know? And for anyone that is ill, that does have a chronic condition, the majority are reversible, you know, diabetes, cholesterol. I mean, there's some where there's actual damage being done, like Alzheimer's, like autism, for example. If we catch a behavioral development issue in a child early enough, we can fully reverse it. If it's too far gone, there's neural inflammation and literal brain damage, then there's some reverse, but not full. So it depends on the condition and when you get it sort of started.
It's a scary world to be growing up in, because I think so often we're dealt with illness and disease, even when we are trying to safeguard ourselves from it and do everything that we know is best to do. But I think a lot of that is motivated by big marketing campaigns. I'd love to ask you this because I see this everywhere, right? Kind of be having one leg in wellness and helping people to a certain degree with wellness, and started using the DNA company tests as well with clients. What I do see all over right now is in females, hormone imbalances. Why are we seeing this? Is it as simple to say, okay, well, a lot of people took birth control and these pills completely dysregulated everything? Or is there more to the story with these hormone imbalances?
So in our research phase, we studied 7,000 people, half of them were women. And what we learned, we didn't know this prior to the research, the biggest problem in healthcare today is female hormone health. It's the most underserved, it's the most broken. the most completely misinterpreted, as opposed to it's so easy to fix if you understood what was going on. So the why, the answer is, when our Western pharmaceutical-based medicine started, and we started doing evidence-based research to prove that this pill works for the majority of people that have an ailment, women complicated clinical trials because they have a 28-day menstrual cycle. And so it was very hard to track and prove that a drug worked. And remember, the goal is to get it to work, right? It's not about yes or no. It's like, how do we make this a yes? So women were removed from clinical trials. Then obviously there was some pushback, like, how do you do that? You just eliminated half the population. Okay, we'll include women, but we'll include postmenopausal women because they don't have a menstrual cycle. And so clinical research is done on men and postmenopausal women. And half the population, well, I shouldn't say half, because maybe a quarter of women that are not menopausal yet, who still have a menstrual cycle, are not considered when it comes to how does this drug work for them. Because the hormones are, there's a circadian rhythm, it's up and down all month, that changes everything else in the body, and that's why this stuff just doesn't work. That's why women are much more likely to die of their first cardiovascular event. 80% of Alzheimer's and dementia cases are in women. Right? So it's just such a so much of a bigger problem. So what we learned is the genetics of the hormone cascade are the biggest gift that women can receive when it comes to their healthcare journey, because they finally understand who they are. And every week is different. There's the follicular phase and the luteal phase of the menstrual cycle, and things change. You're truly not the same person on the inside if you look at the hormone map. And so the choices you have to make, the same supplement you might take to help you sleep on one day is not the same thing you take on a different day. The exercise you do on week one is not the exercise you do on week three. So all of what we've learned is designed around men. And it doesn't work in the circadian rhythm of the female menstrual cycle. And so we are working on fixing that. And this is something that I talked to you about offline around working on female health specifically. Just feel that needs so much support. But that's the answer. It's women just aren't considered in studies because it's complicated. But you need to have that solution. And imagine the person that brings that solution. But the reason why they're not looking for that solution, because they already know it's not a single pill. Which is what they want, right? It's more complex than that. And so we're now going to see that there's companies that come to the forefront that do have the right solution. There's a big wave of that.
So there's a lot of damage, obviously, clearly been done to female and male hormonal systems. This damage that has been done, whether it's from food, birth control pills, whether it's just from the crazy living in the modern world, air pollution and all that. Have you seen in your research that these hormonal imbalances you're able to reverse them, or is there a point where it's too late? So you have women that, say, for instance, haven't had their period for their menstrual cycle for, a couple of years, they haven't been able to conceive a child or anything like this. Have you been able to see reversals on this?
Yeah. In this area, we can always reverse. So the difference is so when I talk about, say, for example, Alzheimer's, right? And I say that if I catch you early enough, we can reverse it. But if we wait too long, we can reverse it to some degree, but not to based on why, because there is actual damage done to the brain. Right? So it's hard to reverse that neural damage. It can be that. It could also be done, but it's a lot of work. When it comes to hormones, men make hormones every day and women make hormones every month. So every month is an opportunity for women to refresh that cycle and fix it. Every day is an opportunity for a man to refresh and fix his cycle. So there's no damage done. You're just stuck with an imbalanced cycle. Now, if you have estrogen dominance or estrogen toxicity, then there could be some level of damage upstream. Like maybe you cause yourself cardiovascular disease or breast cancer or ovarian cancer or Alzheimer's. That's the damage. Those things can also be worked on. But the actual hormonal imbalance itself should be able to be fixed in the next hormone cycle if you can do things right.
So interesting. What I'm thinking about now is you said, obviously, with female hormones, it goes in cycles throughout the 28-day cycle, phases, sorry. How are you able to, so I know you're working on something, how are you essentially able to help females when, say, a female hasn't had their menstrual cycle? You essentially wouldn't know which phase they're in. So how do you start from like a ground zero?
Yeah. So the body will automatically jump in when it's supposed to. Mm. Remember, when we don't focus on the symptoms, we're not thinking about you haven't had a cycle. What we're focused on is a system failure. So I'll give you an actual example. There was a young girl we dealt with who was 21. From the age of 16 to 21, she had 5 menstrual cycles. So basically, wow, like 1 year, right? Now, this girl had crazy cystic acne, had hair loss all over her head, horrible hair loss, but she had a perfect 6-pack, in fact, an 8-pack. And she said, I don't work out. So she was highly, highly androgenized. Her hormone cycle heavily pushed towards testosterone and a specific version called dihydrotestosterone, DHT, which is like the Superman, manly man version. So she was like built like a NBA, you know, ripped muscle fiber showing type athlete on the inside, trying to be this young girl. And so her father was an internist, a medical doctor, who told her that she had a liver toxicity issue, which is why she had acne, and put her on these pills that made her even more sick. But really all she had was a hormone imbalance. It took us, I think it was 6 or 8 weeks. So it took about 2 cycles. And she came in to see us. This was during our research phase, by the way, crying because she said it's the first time in her life she's felt like a girl. You know, her skin was glowing, her hair was good, her acne was gone, and she had her cycle. So we didn't pick the day. We weren't thinking about the cycle. What we were saying is we can see from your genetics that things are broken and we know how to fix them. So let's get going. And the symptoms will resolve themselves because the symptoms are driven by the systems. And that's what happened with her. And it's like, you know, she went from 5 years of not being able to fix it to within 2 months, things were good.
It truly is miraculous how the body can work if we work with it. And I feel like we're always working against it, you know, just from sleep to diet to, and to be honest, I'm quite excited about the interest in health and wellness now, like interest beyond what we're getting marketed to. But again, like you mentioned at the beginning, it's like, who do you listen to? You know, there's Dave Asprey that's like going all fats, you know, no carbs. Then you've got the plant-based diets. It's like full carbs. It's like and those are obviously the polar opposites. And then you've got everyone in between. Is the starting point a genetic test? Is that what we need to do?
Yeah, because you know what to focus on, right? Like, well, first of all, what problem are you fixing? Let's start there, because you may be fixing the wrong problem. And then how do you fix it for yourself? So the question of diet and nutrition, you don't need to guess. We already know the genes that metabolize fat and metabolize plants and metabolize starches and your insulin response. It's all in your genetic blueprint. So if you look at the blueprint, you already know exactly what your meals should look like to be your best. Where we are, so it just takes all that guesswork. Try, if there's anything that you're doing that requires trial and error, that's the element that can be removed. You don't need to do that. You don't need to guess. You can know on day one, here's actually what I need to do, and just do that.
So if we have weak genes or missing genes like you have, we're essentially not destined to the symptom of what that can cause. We're predisposed. And as long as we know that, we can prevent that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that missing or weak gene just tells you, here's what you need to prioritize. And you need to develop habits around this to make sure it doesn't manifest the potential problem it could. And guess what? We are certain that that can be the case. You don't have to have the problem. We are also certain that if you do things wrong, you will very likely have that problem. Right? So it's just understanding, here's the red flag. What habits do I need to focus on? And then what am I preventing or reversing?
I'm going to ask a loaded question because I believe I know the answer, but I know this is really relevant, and is that I know in the genetic makeup, you can tell if someone can metabolize or work well with carbohydrates versus fats. Now, if someone doesn't work with carbohydrates well, but works with fat well, is that as simple enough thing just to say, well, keto is good for you? Or is what is the depth to that?
Yes, as a baseline, yes, that person will thrive on keto. Then we can also dive a little deeper and look at their insulin response, right? And say that if they have a dysregulated insulin response, then maybe they shouldn't stay on keto, maybe just use it therapeutically, cycle on and off, right? We can also then look at their hormones and say, well, if they're more estrogen dominant, they're much more likely to store fat. So maybe they'd cycle on and off, right? So there's layers to it where we can think functionally. So baseline keto, you're going to feel great. Now, how do you use keto? Let's be a little more precise. We can dive deeper, but even that first answer is going to be much better than any trial and error type answer they go out there and find.
And when you say cycle keto, and then what's the inverse? You meaning like keto and then go full on high carb plant-based, or like?
Well, something in the middle, like a paleo type diet is, give yourself some carbs and plants and, so just relieve your body of that high fat diet for a little bit, right? So like we use carnivore as a therapeutic tool. But for some people, we tell them 5 to 8 weeks, and then you got to go back to paleo. And then you do it again, maybe 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay.
Right? It's as an autoimmunity resolving anti-inflammatory type diet. So now for some people, we tell them, go ahead and just stick to this because it's like who you're meant to be, and you'll just constantly stay fine.
But if you cannot metabolize fats really well, and you're in that bracket, then you're sticking in a paleo, or you're sticking to a high-carb diet, or what does that
mean? We can still tell that person to use it therapeutically, because it takes about 5 or 6 weeks before someone starts to feel bad from a high-fat diet.
Okay.
Right. Everyone, it doesn't matter how you metabolize fats, when you get into ketosis, everyone feels amazing. Start to burn fat as fuel, your brain feels great, everyone feels amazing. And that's why, a few weeks into keto, nobody ever blames the keto for how bad they feel, because they felt so good in the beginning. They think it's something else. But it takes a number of weeks before you start to feel bad if you're not a good metabolizer. So this is why we cycle people on and off.
So my last question then is, do you think that a keto diet or any kind of diet that is right on the fringe, so only sticking to one type of macro, is too dangerous for anyone?
So the more we're seeing, I go to a lot of conferences, right? And what we're really learning now is it's about achieving metabolic flexibility. So if you're on a very strict diet, use that to get yourself to optimal health and then become flexible. So, get rid of all the carbs and starches and sugars, right? But don't do that for 10 years. Do it for a year. Then start to reintroduce the carbs intermittently. And your body will use them efficiently, which it didn't used to do. Right? So what you're trying to achieve is metabolic flexibility, where I'm so healthy now that I can eat various things. Whereas before, I was so inflamed, so close to diabetes, metabolically dysfunctional, mitochondria was struggling, that this stuff would trigger problems. So that's really the goal. We're learning more and more and more now that everyone that pushes a very strict diet of whatever sort, go ahead and use that to get to metabolic flexibility, but then start to create some variety. Like no carb, zero carb for life. I'm not sure if that's a good idea. I think it's a great idea to heal yourself, right? But eventually introduce some back. It doesn't have to be a regular thing, but bring some back.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. What's amazing. So besides for getting a genetic test, and for all listeners, the link to get a test is in the show notes. I've got a little discount there for you guys. Cash, is there anything that is very unknown from your opinion that you can leave listeners with? That they may not know, but it could be a very, very easy fix in most people's homes in order to keep.
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that comes to mind there immediately is environmental health and knowing that you have to be cognizant of every single chemical that you're breathing in every day that you're probably not thinking about. What's in your lawn? What's in your dry cleaning? What's on your mattress? You know, what are you cleaning your furniture with? All of that stuff compounds, and the proliferation of chemical usage today far beyond our capacity to deal with it, and it's a major source of disease. So start thinking about that. It's free. We're not asking you to buy anything or do anything. It's like, just go look at everything that's in your house and in your lawn and in your office and start to eliminate and replace with things that are clean.
And can you help that process with some supplements, anything?
Yeah, detox, you know, NAC, glycine. But again, if you understand your genome, you'll know precisely how to supplement for that. But just basic glutathione drivers like NAC, glycine, anti-inflammatory, your B complexes, B9, B12, support all of that. You know, you can, and you'll feel a difference right away.
That's amazing. Well, I am so grateful to be connected with you, and we'll get to live to the ripe age of 120 and traveling all over the world. Thank you so much for sharing so much with the listeners. And again, guys, if you want to go see what Cash is doing in the industry, he really is revolutionizing it. Please go check him out, Kashif Khan, on all your channels where you'll find him. The DNA company, as well as the company that provides the genetic testing. The link is in the show notes. And I will chat to you guys soon.